This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. One of the greatest challenges facing nonprofit groups is communicating the importance of their work. With 35 years of experience as a writer, editor, and journalism instructor, former Cincinnati Enquirer editor Tom Callinan created Charitable Words, a resource to help organizations tell their stories effectively. Howard Wilkinson sat down with Callinan to talk about his organization.
Welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
Good to see you. After a very long career in journalism, the last 8 years of which you were the editor and vice president of the Cincinnati Enquirer and my boss for those years, you retired, but you didn't stop. You started a little over a year ago something called Charitable Words, and I wanted you to be able to explain to us a little bit about what that is and what the purpose is.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, charitable words. I mean, take it apart. And, of course, words are what I did for a living. But when you're a journalist, you're confined in a good way, I think, by the objectivity rules. You know, you can't get involved. You've got to – and, Howard, you know this, even though you had to do a lot of sensitive stories. People on both sides gave you great respect because they knew you're going to be fair. And whatever your belief systems in way deep down inside, your core values, your political affiliation, whatever it was, we had to put that aside as journalists. That was a joyous career, but it was confining to me. And when I retired, I did not want to be objective. I wanted to be totally subjective. I wanted to be who I was and do what I believed in. And that gets into the charitable part of it. I'm very involved in a lot of things that I couldn't be involved in as a journalist, including politics. And it's freedom, but I'm still getting to write. I mean, that's what I do. I write, so I enjoy doing it.
And Charitable Words, tell us about the purpose of that, what it does, how it's organized, why you organize it.
Well, it started out as a consulting business, I thought. I didn't know what to do. I had a job for 35 years, then I was retired, and I don't play golf, so what do I do? So I thought, well, I'll do consulting. So I was going to advise nonprofits on how to get their messages across. I didn't really care for that. It was like work to me, and I had to market myself. And I came up with a concept that I really love, and that is to fund scholarships for students interested in doing humanitarian work to work at nonprofits. And what that provided Maureen and I, my wife, is a way to engage with, you know, the millennials. You know, we have three kids about that age, but, you know, they were privileged to be able to go to college and, you know, not take out student loans and things like that at great lengths. So what we do is we try to help through our small, modest family foundation, scholarships for students to work in fields we care about. Specifically, she's an elder law attorney in town, very involved in those issues. So we work with Miami University's gerontology school to fund internships with students who work with Alzheimer's patients in a program called Opening Minds Through Art. Now, that is just a totally uplifting, joyous experience to us to watch these students work with older people and really be engaged. And then we're there to mentor them if they would like our help in guidance on writing or video or social media, or her help in how to deal in what is called person-centered care, which she's kind of involved in. We're there, but if they don't need us, we're just there to watch.
Talk a little bit about the charitable scholars. Who are they? How are they chosen? What do they do?
Well, we're at a turning point. Like I say, when we have a small fund that our family has, that, you know, we can't give away a lot of money, but we can give away a lot of engagement. So if we can fund a scholarship for a student and then get in and work with the nonprofit on any kind of capacity building, such as, you know, obviously I offer some media and marketing help. Maureen, of course, is a lawyer, so, you know, she can help in her way. She's still working, so, you know, I have more time than she has. We've had about 18 of them so far, and they've ranged in projects ranging from the Alzheimer's work, like I said. I just had a student working with veterans, with people working cooperatively. That's another one of my interests. And then, but we've also had students go to international assignments in Nicaragua, Tanzania. Not that we really are involved over there, but we just think it's a character-building experience for students to go on those kind of trips.
Are those students involved with individual charitable organizations?
Right. Or? We only deal with nonprofits.
Right.
And the reason that is that, you know, I don't want to give my elevator speech, but I've got it kind of ingrained in my mind that, you know, nonprofits are the 10% of our economy, the largest growing sector in our economy. That's where the jobs are in a lot of ways for these students. But all nonprofits are underfunded. I mean, you can never have enough money to run your programs. So I think the students do help. It helps them, you know, with experience that could get them in a position to get a job, even with the nonprofit. And it helps with that student debt bubble that they're facing right now that our generation didn't really have to face when you're graduating with, you know, $25,000 average debt and 50% chance of unemployment.
And these charitable word scholars are actually doing what? They're writing, they're producing video, they're doing...
A lot of it is media-related, like that, videos, things like that, but not all of it. You know, whatever the nonprofit needs. You know, a great example is we work with a nonprofit called Melodic Connections. What Melodic Connections does is provides music therapy to autistic kids. And, you know, we didn't send them a guitar player. What we sent them was a student, Tia Garcia, who is the multimedia editor at the News Record at the University of Cincinnati, to help with their website. And she did videos. She organized their website, worked on their calendar system. And their page views of their website, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like hundreds last year. I know the last report I was 5,000 page views, and the number of volunteers and funders just increased exponentially. Now that is an example of what we call engaged philanthropy. That is, you know, we couldn't buy enough capacity with enough money just to give them money without providing a student like that with the skills needed that we work with then. You know, I'm not an expert at anything, but I've got a lot of friends like you, who are experts.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll call people and say, mm-hmm. you know, I've got a video I'd like to storyboard, and I'll call Michael Keating, Glenn Hartung, you know the people I call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, can you help? And people want to help.
And these nonprofits, I mean, many of them do have difficulty getting their message out and don't have those kind of skills available to them, or else they have to go out and pay for them at quite a price.
Yeah, the nonprofit world, just like the journalism world or the radio world or whatever world you're in, has its own language. And, you know, you can remember news meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We knew what we were talking about. If you came in and sat in a news meeting, the words we'd use, the insider jargon, you know, nut graphs, leads,
right.
you know, things like that, no one else would know what we're talking about. And that happens in the nonprofit world. They start to talk their language in the echo chamber. So what I try to do is pretend, and this is what I'm trained in. You know, you were a reporter, highly skilled. I represented as an editor the audience. Okay, you know what you're talking about, you're an authority, but you're way over my head, or you are reporting incrementally a story that you know the previous eight stories I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you've heard me say it, readers don't keep clips.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the nonprofits will express themselves in ways that don't really engage people.
Yeah. And any group of people or organizations that, you know, talk to themselves a lot need to just have someone who can say, wait, what are you talking about? Make it clear. And that's what we try to do. And there's so many ways to communicate now. You know, everybody wants to get in the paper. Everybody wants to get on Twitter. Everybody wants, okay, here's the magic bullet, right? There is no magic bullet. It is so scattered right now. I mean, you've got to figure out every single platform and strategy in communicating. You know, Pinterest, I mean, who can – don't
yeah,
right. you know – you're going to laugh at me, but I do Pinterest now. I have to. And it's nice for recipes, but it also is a good way to organize, and the word I use is curate, all the information out there about what's going on in nonprofits and put it basically in a on a placing mat that I can go and find if I need it.
These charitable word scholars, how do you choose them and what are you looking for in those people?
Well, when I started out, it was basically one of the – I teach at UC. I'm not actively, you know, there every day, but I do stop in as a visiting professor on occasion. One of my colleagues there, Alyssa Yancey, is on my advisory board. And I know a lot of the students. She knows all the students. So she's been really, she's been instrumental in just providing me good students that I didn't have to go through a big process. I also work with the gerontology school at Miami University, and they have a whole process of, you know, providing the right students. As we're applying for a federal nonprofit status, 501c3, in which we would be able to ask for funding to do more. And my plan for next year is to double the number of students that we fund and send out there. And I'll have to have a more organized system for that when I do that. Right now, it's pretty much natural. There's not a big application process or vetting process. And with that comes some not-so-successful projects. You know, some students are more engaged than others. But mostly, we've had very good luck.
And if people want to get involved in charitable words or become a charitable word scholar, what do they do?
Well, I mean, I've got a website. It's called charitablewords.com. And on that, there are various parts of the website that talk about, there's a blog that talks about all that we're doing. There are places to go to click on how to apply, things like that. And really, the easiest way for me to communicate what I do is to talk about the website, because it's just kind of the front door to your business these days.
This has been pretty satisfying for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never retired before.
Yeah.
You do it once.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do. I mean, we have a place in Arizona. I went out there for a few months, and you know, I don't play golf, and I used to be the editor of the paper out in Arizona, Phoenix, and you know, all the people I'd call, they're still working, you know, and my friends were out on the golf course, and I'm sitting there. Well, what do I do? And I kind of woke up one day, and I thought, you know, I spent a lot of time in Cincinnati on making relationships, and you know, connections are currency to me. And when you're a journalist, as you know a lot of people. A lot of people know you. They might not necessarily like you, but they know what you can do. They respect you in some ways. So call on them and say, would you help with this? And in that context, why would I sit out in Arizona and, you know, play golf when I can put that gift, I guess, to work? So that's why I did it.
And again, it's charitablewords.com.
Yes.
If you want to learn more. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Former Cincinnati Enquirer editor Tom Callinan speaking about Charitable Words, a resource to help organizations tell their stories effectively. He spoke with Howard Wilkinson. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Rick Andrus. With Howard Wilkinson, I'm Jay Hanselman.